This is Jock Talk, an intimate, in-depth discussion with the best jockeys in thoroughbred racing. Presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
25-year-old Mario Gutierrez, who touched Derby, 1:38.
Digging down for the final 16th under Victor Espinosa.
Joe Calamo in the ride of his life, in the race of his life.
Gary Stevens, 3 Preaknesses.
A brilliant ride by Calvin Burrell.
Up the inside under Johnny Velasquez to take it.
Shanghai Bobby and Rosina Pravnik come again to beat. He's had enough.
Raji Baraj aboard, crushing the field here.
Perfectly ridden by Javier Castellano.
A scintillating performance under Rafael Bejarano.
Now, here's Christina McManigal.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm retired jockey Christina McManigal. I'm joining you tonight from our Lexington, Kentucky studio, and I would like to thank everyone listening tonight on Sirius 219, XM 206, and to those of you listening to our website at horseracingradio.net. A portion of the proceeds from this show go to the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. The PDJF provides financial assistance to riders who have suffered devastating on-track injuries. If you are able to help, please visit the website, pdjf.org. So my guest this evening has won 26 graded stakes during his long career, including the Grade 1 Spinaway aboard Stormy Pick. He ranks 65th among all-time jockeys by number of wins, with 4,089 wins, to be exact, and over $68 million in earnings. Jose Ferrer, welcome to the show.
Man, it's great to be there. Great to hear you guys. Absolutely. Man, what an introduction. It was great.
Thank you.
It made me feel awful. Wow, man. Wow.
You should feel awesome, Jose. All you've accomplished, my goodness. I mean, I could have a much longer introduction than that, but I want to get... Well,
thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Christina. It's always a pleasure.
Hey, always a pleasure to talk to you, Jose. And my goodness, haven't seen you in a very long time. We used to ride together, I guess, what was it? Parks, Monmouth, Tampa, a couple years ago.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, man.
How's Tampa treating you now?
Pretty good, not too bad. You know, the weather's great. I live here. You know me, bought a place over here in Tampa, so pretty much this is home for me now. You know, from there I go to Miami, go to Jersey. But Jersey, like, you know, really my home in Jersey. But, you know, I only spend 6 months over there.
Right.
So basically, you know, I like to go in the winter. The weather's great, you know.
I'm jealous.
Stay away from that cold weather.
I'm jealous, Jose. It hasn't been too bad here in Lexington, but, you know, it's not Florida. I'm not on the beach, so I do miss those days.
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Jose, the way we usually do these shows, I want to start in the beginning. I want to talk about, my goodness, you've been riding, what, 34, 35 years?
32 years.
33 years.
32. Yeah, 32.
32 years.
Yeah, 32.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, wow. Long, incredibly awesome career.
Yeah.
My goodness, Jose. And so... You were born in Puerto Rico, is that correct?
Yes, man. I wasn't born in Puerto Rico, but I get in the business to my uncle. My uncle is an old-timer, retired right now, Carlos Lopez. My cousin is Chucky Lopez, E.C. Lopez. He's basically riding right now at the Philadelphia Park. He was riding in New York before. I got a couple of cousins in the West Coast. Yeah, riding in California, San Francisco, I'm there. Davey Lopez and Eric Lopez, like a couple of Lopez that are related to me, they're my cousins. So we got like 2, 3, 4, 5, yeah, like 5 riders in the family.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a family affair. We actually had CeCe on this show, my goodness, like maybe a year ago. I don't know, a long time ago, but he was...
My cousin. Yes,
yeah, sir. He's awesome.
He's great. He's a trip.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, he made for a good radio show. That's for
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely, I'm telling you. Cool dude.
So you grew up, did you grow up looking up to your relatives who were riding?
Not really. No, believe it or not really. I was going to grow up to the sport of baseball.
Really?
I always want to be a baseball player, believe it or not. But, you know, it was too small. So, you know, my parents always, you know, it wasn't, you know, racing was not in my first priority, believe it or not. You know, it was all the stuff, you know, school, you know, all a different kind of sport. But then, you know, get a little older, I never go, you know, get a little higher, you know, a little taller, so I was small, so it was convenience. Pretty much, you know, always like the animals, love the horses, love the dogs, you know. I'm an animal lover, I like, love the animals, so I think it was a good move. And that's what I did. I came to New Jersey, but then I came to Mama Park. 1982, I was working for J.J. Krupe. That was my first job. And then after that, I ended up working another year for Ronaldo Nobles. I was the process table at the time. So it was a pretty good foundation, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm so surprised. So even with your family involved in racing, you initially, you just wanted to be a baseball player. That was
yeah,
all you wanted to do.
You know, my mom was always like, she was, you know, injuries and, you know, tough career. You know, we got to, things, people think it's easy, this career. We do, you know, but it's really a tough business, tough career. It's not like, you know, dandy like people think. It's tough. It's very tough business.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I got to tell you, I do not know much about baseball. I'm a big Red Sox fan, but other than that, I don't know too much about it. But
yeah,
what position did you play when you were younger?
I was playing second base. I was like playing second base. Yeah, I was good at it too.
No kidding.
I still play, but I don't know. Matter of fact, I used to play last week.
Really?
I still playing it, yeah. Yeah, they got a baseball league, softball league over here now.
Yeah.
Over here in Tampa Bay down, so... You know, still playing.
So you
still... Mom was doing money, so a lot of fun, too. In Chicago, I played Chicago there. I mean, if I went to Arlington, had a real nice league. In Mom was down in this league. We end up, every year, play, you know, latest in the scrimmage game between the riders from New York, riding from Philly, riding from Mammoth. We got how you can say that? Like always talking about, oh, I'm going to beat you. Talking smack, you know, between the riders and stuff. And we end up playing a couple games. It's fun. We do something like collect some money and kind of some kind. We always try to do a charity game.
That's awesome. You know, yeah, you still get to play what you always enjoyed.
It's fun. I play here, you know, with the jockeys and a couple of trainers and side boys. We have fun on it.
That's good. Fun. Yeah, that's good. And you're all competitive, of course. So, you know, I'm sure you all make it a lot of fun.
Yeah, fun.
That's awesome. And so Jose, so once you realized that you're going to be too small to be a baseball player professionally, so was it then you just immediately, that was your second option, was to become a jockey?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I became a jockey. I always like the horses, too. You know, my uncle told me if I want to come ride, to let him know. So the time was perfect. Make a phone call. Call my cousin Chucky. I moved to the States.
Really? So that was it. Yeah. Immediately decided. Now I've heard of the jockey school in Puerto Rico, and that wasn't something you wanted to do. You just wanted to go straight to the States.
Well, you know, first of all, I looked for looked for this jockey school first, but it was like, you know, you got to sign in first, and you know, you got to wait for a year because all the kids already signed in the time I was going to do it. So it probably took me 2 years to become a rider in PR. My uncle told me, you know, like, if I want to come to the state, I probably have no problem becoming a rider, you know, in a year or two. So that's what I did.
Right. So you decided just to move to the States. And how old were you at that point?
17.
17. My goodness.
Yeah.
My goodness.
17 years old. Young part. Long time ago.
And was it tough for you to move away from home and, you know?
Absolutely. It was a big change.
Of course. Of course.
Big change.
Did you speak English when you got here?
Not at all.
No,
it was a challenge.
Wow.
Was, you know, in the end, it was all well worth it.
Oh, of course. You know, of course. Did you come here and stay with family?
No, matter of fact, I can't say, you know what I mean? I did the foundation, like, you know, it used to be that way, you know, stay on the backside, let him become a groom, hot walker, and all that.
Right.
Step by step. You know what I mean? That was something else, sleeping on the backside.
You paid your dues. Yeah.
You know, that was kind of fun. Really good, man.
So
yeah,
you...
Blast, you know, leave for free. Grab free rent.
Yeah, you know? I mean, it could be worse, man, right?
It could be worse. But after that, you know, get off.
So you...
It was good.
So you started out, you know, grooming, hot walking, and working around the horses like that. Was that the first time you'd really worked around the horses when you moved?
No, I did that back home. I did that in Puerto Rico.
Oh, okay.
I was there for a year.
So you already...
I was on the horses and all that. Because, you know, I got two cousins at the time in Puerto Rico was riding too. So I was over there with them. You know, I was already, like, familiar.
Right.
You know, I spent a year working around the horses and all that. You know, just to build... laid a foundation
right.
for my career. Because my uncle told me, you know, you got to do it step by step. So, you know, so I did. You know, I did my time.
And you worked for some really great people here in the States. And how long did it take before you actually got a leg up on a horse?
Probably a year. Yeah, a year. Yeah, but if I was a whole year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I came in with a pair of boots and a helmet. And my trainer told me, no. You know, give me the boots and the helmet and put it in the trunk. And when you're ready, I will give it to you. And he did. Keep it for 8 months.
Really?
You know, he teach me how to do everything first. You know.
How to work around the horses and listen.
Absolutely. Do everything, you know, the grooming, the high walker, the pony, the gallop, all that first. And then, you know, then I was developed to get on some horses. Because I already get on horses in Puerto Rico, but I wasn't, you know, like we call green. I was a really, really green still.
So he got
my trainer wanted to teach me first, and you know, put me, you know, you know, teach me pretty good. Give me, you know, the whole basis about these business, you know, riders these days. If you got a good foundation, you last long. The quicker you come in, the quicker you out. You know, I don't know, you know this, but you know, you probably see a lot of riders come and go.
Oh, yes.
You know, they don't take the time to learn, to give a soft, good basis in the business. They just come in, you know, get a pair of boots and get their helmet and ride in 6 months, you know, a year later.
And they're done.
What happened to that guy? Where he went? What happened to this kid? You know what I mean?
Well, it's a tough industry. You got to love it. And you have to have that solid foundation that you're talking about that you earned.
If you want to last a long time, you have a great foundation to learn the goods and downs. For this business, you know it is up and down.
Very much so.
You're pretty much based on what you do today.
Exactly.
Right now. If you know, you'll be a killer one day, you'll be a more shocker the next day.
This is very true.
That's the way it is. You can be the hero one day and then...
This is true.
You know what it is.
Yeah, you know, everyone who's ridden knows the ups and downs, you know.
Cool. Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah,
I don't have a... It's a great career. It's awesome. And you have, you know, meet a lot of people, a lot of characters, and, you know, go to a lot of places. I've been all over the place. I was in the East Coast, West Coast, Midwest. Never in the West Coast. But I've been doing my traveling for my years.
Mostly East Coast. And so tell me about when your trainer got in that trunk, he pulled out the vest and the helmet. He said, okay, you're ready. And then you started galloping horses, and you said you were a little bit green, but you rode in Puerto Rico. Was it a pretty easy transition? Did things just come to you naturally as far as riding?
Yeah, it was pretty natural.
So it just, well, it's
all... Yeah, it was cool, you know. It's, you know, it's not bad at all.
It's obviously...
Because to my uncles and me and my cousins and... You know, being small guy, high, I was pretty natural. You know, like, it was not really too much obstacles in my way. Like, you know, a lot of kids got weight problems. You know what I mean? They don't know the business too well. But, you know, my career was, you know, it came down. You know, I did my time to be alone. But, you know, it could be harder for other kids when the weight problem pretty much now. You know what I mean? A lot of kids got problems, weight problems. Yeah, I'm trying to do the weight, and that's pretty much a tough obstacle to overcome. But thank God. I was blessed, you know, I was pretty much blessed that way to be light and be only 5 feet tall. You know, not a career I want to choose, you know, but, you know, always got to give you something to battle back.
So you're 5 feet tall?
Yeah.
5 feet. And you never had to worry about your weight at all?
No, thank God, no. Not at all, homie. I was 112, 13, but I never get any more weight than that.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, it's in my own self. Like, the guys told me, you know, 52, you know, how can you do, like, so still light? I said, you know, work at them, you know, never have any weight problem. Thank God. It was not true.
I'm jealous, Jose. I remember sitting on the hot box too many times. That was
not at all. No,
that's great, and that's such an advantage for you.
Absolutely.
Because you're out there riding against guys who, you know, they're starving themselves and they're weak and they're, you know,
Absolutely.
Struggling with the weight. And when you're strong and you're able to work out and put on muscle, that is a huge advantage.
That's like right now, you know, I got my own gym in my house, so I've been, you know. But you know, the last 5 years, I'm really like, you know, you got to compete with young kids, so you got to be fit and strong. So I've been, you know, built a lot of muscles. And believe it or not, because, you know, believe it or not, you see me now, I'm fitted now. That was 20 years ago.
No way.
The older, you young guy, you know, you take advantage, you know, all that you're doing. Now, you know, the more older you are, the more you appreciate. Like, I appreciate more. Still got, you know, like 3-4 more years of myself and my belt. You know, so I want to, like, work out it hard, you know, like, you know what I mean, working hard in my body and, you know, eat good and all that, go to sleep early, you know, things never used to do, like, 20 years ago.
You want to make it count. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's so stronger now, man. Feel really good right now.
What, you said you have your own gym at your house.
Yeah.
What do you do? Like, what type of workouts do you do?
I do everything. Weight, running, lifting. Every day I work out. Sometimes twice a day. I usually work out later in the morning, and then I work in the afternoon. So I try to work out once or twice a day, every single day that I work out. Every day.
Wow.
I got like 5 machines in my garage. I built my own gym. So I got a nice gym, you know. I built my own nice gym, So, you know, because I got a couple of kids, so it's tough to go to the gym with kids, you know. Got two little boys I got now, so get me going too. Get me jump. We don't laugh.
I mean, they keep you busy.
Keep me really busy. I got 2.5 get me busy on it. One just turned years old last week.
Wow. So young.
Yeah. It's my life right now. My pride and joy.
That's great, Jose. That's great. And
I got two beasts, two boys. One is Derek Gregory, is 2.5, and Joseph Julius, just two boys.
Two boys.
Two yeah. Two future. Hopefully one is a baseball player, and another is a jockey. So hopefully one is a jockey, and my other one, you know what I mean? I pointed it. You're going to be a jockey, my man. You'll be a baseball player. So I got more money.
You got
all the things I want to do in life, taking care.
You got all your bases covered.
Yeah, we'll see. That's the goal.
Do they enjoy going to the races?
They love them. Oh, my oldest one, 2.5 years old, you go crazy when you see me top of all of this. You know what I mean? Matter of fact, I just put them in horses now, right now. You know what I mean? In the summer, I don't know if you know, but, you know, Dennis Ward. He's a Westie warrior. I ride a lot for him. You know, he put him in a pony with him. So there was comfortable on top of the horse. Just natural. Fine, top of the horse, natural, nothing. And every week, I try to bring him once a week to the backside and put him horses, put him the pony, and, you know, and try to trot him out. You know.
But
so they love him. Love him. They both love him. Especially me. All of them love, really. Love to be in the horse. He already, I think he's going to be a racetrack junkie already. He loved me.
Start him young. Start him young.
I tell you. Oh, that's when I'm crazy already. I've been to the jock show. You know, the valet, Troy. You know, he come right in. He tried to help me out with the boots and hang out with all the valet. It's pretty cool. I'm really enjoying my life right now. Having a really good time in my life right now.
Jockey Jose Ferrer is joining me here on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. So, Jose, when you started galloping horses, I want to rewind a little bit. When you started galloping horses there in Jersey, and It came natural to you. It was just second nature. You didn't have to struggle with your weight. And when did you decide that you were ready to actually start riding races?
Well, it wasn't up to me. It was on to my, you know, my uncle was looking at me. You know, was watching me all the time, my cousin. So, you know, it's one of those deals, you know, my uncle was on. He's the one, you know, he was the one with a, okay, he's ready to go. You know, he's pretty much, you know, he was in charge when I was ready to go or not. You know, but, you know, when I came back, you know, from Puerto Rico, I wasn't, he was looking after me the whole time, my uncle. And my uncle said, all right, good to go, we're good to go. He was giving me the okay.
And he gave you the thumbs up and...
Give me thumbs up, I'm ready to go.
No kidding. And yeah. You rode your first race there in Jersey?
In Mamo, yeah, Mamo Park.
Yeah.
Yeah, my first horse in Mamo Park for Renato Nobles. At the time, was DuPois' stables.
That's incredible that you remember that. Month. You remember
yeah.
your very first...
Renato. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. And do you remember anything about the race?
Everything, yeah, I remember everything. Everything was going first angle long. They were looking at me, you know, all the guys were looking at me. It was great. It was great. I was behind. I don't feel nowhere. I was behind. I break good out of the gate. That's the main thing. People look at me, how I'm going to break out of the gate, you know. Make sure you come out good. Make sure you know how the trouble. So I was pretty clear the whole race. I think I beat a horse. I don't know if I beat a horse or not, but it was a good experience.
And how long did it take for you to start winning?
After that, let me see. I rode my first horse in Meadowlands. That was the last, believe it or not, that was the last date of the year. December 31st. That was in a Saturday night. That was for New Year's Day. It was something else. You know, by then, Meadowlands only could ride on Saturdays because they have a football stadium right there, so the football and the races used to conflict. So they never allowed having something racing in Meadowlands. That was a Saturday night. It was pretty cool.
And that was your first
win? The whole Jackson was empty. All you had to pack and go. They all chipping out of it for real. They went there. I said, we got to go. They were packing. That was cool. You know, you notice. But, you know, like, usually they wouldn't ride it when the first race, all the jocks and everybody, you know, would throw some eggs or put some shaving cream and do something, you know.
Initiate you, yeah.
Initiate. I kind of, like, lucky. But, you know, I would have a lot of fun with a lot of people there, but that's okay.
But they were ready to get out of there.
They was packing. They was getting out of there. That was that ready with me. People was leaving. They won't go back. Whatever they're gonna go after that.
Yeah. Oh no!
But, hey guys, come on! Some guys, my full body's on. Give me some ice, and that was it. It was all the stuff put away. You know what I mean? Like shaving cream and everything was all put away. Yeah, that was something else. You know, like it was nothing else. Wait a minute, we like shaving cream? No, they already packed them. Oh, what about these stuff? They're packed too. Everything was packed.
No, it's terrible.
I only got a buckle of ice on, and that was it.
Nothing. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. You won your first race. That's all that matters, you know?
That's all that matters.
That's all that matters. Exactly.
Yeah, you're going to win a race and go from there.
And where did you go from there?
I went to Philadelphia Park. At the time, I used to go Keystone Racetrack in the mornings. I used to do a little bit of Garden State. You know, Garden State, by that year, 82, still was close. So we used to race in Keystone. That was the name of the town of the track. You know, people from Jersey, the training Garden State, on chip to racing in Keystone Racetrack to, you know, the following year when they rebuilt Garden State. And then, you know, all the people in Jersey was riding, running horses over there. But at the time, I was in Philadelphia Park. Well, his name was Keystone Racetrack.
Yeah.
Keystone went for, you know, after that, it was a call of Philadelphia Park. And now they're called Parks Racing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who were some of the great riders that you rode with there at Keystone?
Where?
Keystone.
I rode a bunch of good riders, you know, like in Keystone, Bob Tang, you know, Tony Black, Real Wilson. That was the main riders over there. And then New York, you know, I rode Angel Cordero, I rode Jacinto Vasquez. My bet, Anthony, Pat Day. I rode nothing but the best.
Wow.
You know, I was blessed that way. I rode a bunch of really good riders. Georgie Velasquez, you name it. I rode a lot of the best ones. You know, Chris Humphrey, one of the greatest riders.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, all the, you know, nothing but Hall of Fame riders.
Wow. What an opportunity. It's so good. It's like riding horses, you know, if you ride a bunch of rats, you're not going to learn much. But when you ride the nice horses, you know, that's when you really start to learn. And it's the same can be said with riding with really talented jockeys. Is that
a whole bunch of riders that talk nothing but, you know, four free riders, you know. We have Robbie Alvarado, Kentucky, man, you name it. I rode nothing but the best. You know, I rode my dad on my bed too, you know, before he passed. You know what I mean? Robbie Davies, all kinds of like really talented riders, you know, in Florida. Ava Cole, Rene Douglas, Sal Leon, I name all kinds of like dope, you know, Hall of Fame riders.
Wow.
I got, you know, privilege to ride against these riders, you know, it's like different ballgame, you know.
Yeah, just legends, you name it off there. My gosh. How about Tony Black? I remember we had Tony on the
Tony,
show.
Tony Black, I wrote a bunch of years with Tony. Place you went to, Tony was awesome. You know, I mean, Rick Boston, you know, Matt Bigliotti, all kinds of, you know, all kinds of talented riders over the years.
We will continue our visit with jockey Jose Ferrer after this short commercial break. Stay with us. You're listening to Jock Talk presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Tito Beveridge, founder and master distiller of Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka. I believe in the craft process of distilling in batches using old-fashioned pot stills, and that's the way we still make Tito's Handmade Vodka today. We even won the World Spirits Competition, double gold, unanimous judge's choice. Tito's Handmade Vodka is made from 100% corn, so it's naturally gluten-free. For recipes, videos, and more, visit titosvodka.com. 80 proof Tito's Handmade Vodka, 5th Generation Inc., distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas.
Being a jockey may be one of the more dangerous professions in all of sports. In a split second, you can go from the top of the standings to never being able to stand again. I'm Mike Pena, and over the years, I've had the privilege of talking with many of the top jockeys in thoroughbred racing. And to a person, they will tell you that on any given day, before any given race, when they get a leg up, there's no guarantee they'll return the way they left. It's simply the reality of being a jockey. The Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund does amazing work, providing financial assistance to some 60 former jockeys who have suffered catastrophic on-track injuries. Since its founding 10 years ago, the PDJF has disbursed over $7 million to permanently disabled jockeys. And I'm proud to say that the PDJF is the official charity of the Horse Racing Radio Network, but the only way they can continue helping those disabled riders who have given our sport so much is through your generosity and support. So I encourage you to visit pdjf.org and start making a difference today.
This is CJ Johnson with your Jockey Talk 360 weekly update. Jose Ortiz had a solid week, highlighted by a win in the Sunshine Millions Classic aboard High Riverside. Ortiz finished the week with 3 wins, 7 seconds, and 3 third-place finishes. Miguel Mena had a great week at the fairgrounds as he won 3 out of the 6 stakes races on Saturday. Mena finished the week with 4 wins, 6 seconds, and 2 third-place finishes. Congratulations to Javier Castellano on winning his 4th Eclipse Award for Outstanding Rider. Castellano finished the week with 4 wins, 5 seconds, and 6 third place finishes. Finally, the Jockeys Guild Jockey of the Week, Robbie Alvarado, earned his 5,000th career victory and won the Grade 3 LeCompte aboard Guest Suite. Alvarado led North America in earnings and finished the week with 6 wins, 4 seconds, and 6 third place finishes. John Parada's newest book, Half a Chance, is available now at JockeyTalk360.com. Half a Chance is the story of a down-on-his-luck jockey agent who finds himself entangled in a web of deceit and larceny and provides the kind of entertaining read that is ideal for any racing fan. Visit JockeyTalk360.com for more information. This has been CJ Johnson with your Jockey Talk 360 weekly update. For all of the latest news in the jockey world, visit JockeyTalk360.com and follow us on Twitter at Jockey Talk.
You're listening to Jock Talk on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka.
And vengeful Wildcat has emerged with the lead as they approach the top of the stretch. Smoke It Right is giving way down toward the inside. Here's Royal Courier. Royal Courier and Vengeful Wildcat. Justin Phillip is now third. Buffum is trying to come on through in between horses. On the outside, JJ's Lucky Train. One furlong to go. Vengeful Wildcat is the leader. JJ's Lucky Train runs at him with 100 yards to go. Can Vengeful Wildcat hold on? JJ's Lucky Train surges to win in the final stride of the Bayshore, defeating Vengeful Wildcat narrowly right at the wire, and Justin Phillip was third.
Welcome back to Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. I'm Christina McManigal, and I am joined tonight by jockey Jose Ferrer. And Jose, tell us about JJ's Lucky Train. That was the replay of the 2011 Grade 3 Bayshore Stakes. How about that horse, huh?
Oh, that was awesome. That was awesome. That was a nice experience going to New York. You know, get the job done with that horse. You know, it was previous trained by Mr. Bill Anderson. He's a general manager right now of Lumber Park. So it was a good experience. It was a really nice experience. You know, run good. You know, expect, you know, to run that big. And, you know, it was something else. Nice horse. Very nice horse.
He was a hard knocker, yeah. And what was he like to ride?
Oh, it was really nice. It was really cool in the morning. It was really nice in the afternoon. You know what I mean? No problem. Easy, you know, one of the easy climbing horses. You know, you can walk around him. And, you know, when do pretty much anything you want to do with a horse. You know, when it's quiet. You know?
And there in that Bayshore Stakes, as we just heard with the replay, that was an exciting finish. When did you realize you had the race won?
Oh, believe it or not, it was a tough race, because I don't know if it's going to get dead or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it was one of these things I mean, I think, I'm going to get there or not, you know what I mean? Because, you know, the couple of horses went to the front. My father was in the lead. That was another horse, for, you know, was trained for Benny Perkins. C.H. Marquette was on board at the time. I don't know if I was going to get there. And then, you know what I mean, you just kind of split a couple horses. I went on a tie in the last 50 yards. And, man, I got it. Bam. I got the job done. It was cool.
Got up just in time, Jose. That was an exciting finish. And, JJ's Lucky Train, what a nice horse. He has a really cool story. You know, I was reading an article about him. I guess a vet rescued him towards the end of his career and sent him to stud. And I think from what I understand, he's living a pretty good life now. So that's, it's one of those good stories. Yeah, one of those good stories. You know, he had a good ending to his career. So that...
Yeah.
That was nice to hear. But I also want to bring up a very nice horse you rode, Stormy Pick.
Stormy Pick, yeah. That was a trainer by Benny Perkins. Also know a nice horse. I was riding in New Jersey. Went a couple of stakes. Went to Saratoga. Went a big race over there, too. You know, it was a nice, very nice horse.
Yeah, you won the Grade 3 Sorority in 2000 at Monmouth, and then you went up to Saratoga to win the Spinaway, the Grade 1 Spinaway.
Yeah, that was a good, nice race. Really, too.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, being much made by a nose. That was a,
wow.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Wow. And so you ship up to Saratoga. I love Saratoga. And,
it's a beautiful day. It's a different world out there.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And to ship up there and to win that Grade 1, that just had to be an incredible feeling.
Oh, that was awesome. You know, especially come with Jersey, you know, people think you're on the champs. You know, it's going to be tough race and, you know, end up winning. You know, so it's made you a real nice, you know, trip back home, the 4 hours. he's in the wind.
It's a long ride.
That's a long 4 hours. When you go over and get beat, oh my God, you know it. When you go to out of town or something. You know what I mean? Especially you drive to South Togo.
Goodness.
You know what I mean? And you get the job done, that's a pretty nice trip. But you get beat, my God. It could be really full of long hours.
Either you on know? Top of the world or you're just miserable, yeah.
That's all over.
Gosh. And so tell us about the race, Jose. How did the race set up?
It brought pretty good. I was just too quick. You know, I got a good pace in front of me. When you ride this kind of horses, this kind of riders over there, you know, we pretty much, you don't have too much problem. You know, you got to, you know, you're going to the farm, you know. Rider, you know, this kind of talented riders, they're all small riders, and it's not too much mistake to be get, you know. You know, it's not too much trouble. You know, the race pretty much can plan the way you want to do, or you get the best show, you're going to win. You know, when you run, I took lives on this ride, I turned into a total, you know, Smith, John Baraka, you know, Linda Cadero, you know, all these guys. You know, well, everything was good that day.
Well, and you said you beat Mike Smith by a nose, so I'm going to ask you this question again. Did you know when you were going to win? Did you even think you were going to win the race right before the wire?
Right before the wire, I thought I was going to win it for a while, but then Mikey come behind me. I thought he was going to buy me. I'm a horse respond. I'm a rebroke. You know, something we call. You know what I mean? You know, when the horse give you another spur, bang, and rebroke again, man. I went. That was good. Because I thought it was
got it.
Come from Jersey, run against New York horses. You know, the quality horses in New York are really tough. So you know, to get the advantage, you know, against our horses from Jersey. I thought, you know, I mean, you know, they're gonna beat me the last 2 yards, but my horse rebroke again and respond big. That was good. Up and up again.
What did he pay that day?
I think he paid like $11, I think. $11, $12.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like third choice.
I always like it when that happens.
Yeah, I was like third choice. It was a couple horses, tough horses in New York. And I think it was like, 5-6-1. I think it was 5-1, I believe. Paid $12, $11.20, something like that. I know he paid more than $10. You know.
Was he the nicest horse you've ridden?
No.
Who was?
Probably the City Zip.
City Zip. Yes.
Yeah. Used to ride a horse for Linda Rice. Double bull for Linda Rice. You know, a couple of nice horses. But I think the most consistent was that, you know, Colorful Stone Roll was another horse. Havoc or Raph, that was another 958 horse I used to ride. But I think the most consistent, I think it was Double Bull for Linda Rice. I went like 4 great stakes, you know. No, yeah.
Yeah, double book.
On my career. Yeah, double book. I went like 3-4 stakes.
Double book. He won. Yeah, back in 91, he won the Grade 3 Red Bank Handicap, the Riggs Handicap, the New Shore Sweepstakes. My goodness, so consistent.
Yeah, like 3-4 stakes. You know, it's pretty consistent. It was in the money on time now. It's double book.
So he was probably the nicest horse. Yeah, I mean, when they win like that for you, that's great.
I'm a record too, but if I don't know, you noticed we just article, but there was, I think, like a couple equal trial records. I think one or twice,
Had
a trial record, a couple of races that.
How about the 92 Preakness? You had the opportunity to ride in that.
Yeah, I rode it for Penny, was the lady's name? I was in Hialeah, I was in Miami. I ended up picking a horse but it's all a supplement.
And then he got into running the Preakness, and they asked you to ride. And
it was supplement last minute. People didn't know I was in the Preakness.
Wow, so it was because, just last minute.
Yeah, because we said The anemones at the time was came out already. That trainer, I was a female trainer, decided to go last minute. You know, so all right. So people, so what are you doing with them? I ran the printers. You know, nobody seen it. I wasn't. That was crazy, but that was fun.
What was that like to be there in the crowds and the excitement? That had to be
great.
That had to be a great feeling. And
it was pretty nice.
How
Mike Smith ended up winning the race. That's what I remember.
Who won the race?
Mike Smith.
Oh yes,
Mike Smith. I think it was D-Wing Lucas Horse. I believe
Prairie Bayou. I believe.
Yeah.
Well, then you got Mike Smith back in 2000 in the Spinaway. So.
Yeah, I did.
Worked out just fine.
That was awesome. Yep.
Joggy Jose Ferrer is joining me tonight on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. So, Jose, you had a very monumental milestone that happened almost a year ago, I guess. And that was win number 4,000.
Yeah. That was a week in Tampa Bay Downs.
Oh, my goodness. 4,000, that is just such a huge number.
Yeah. Tim, how many, what's that like? How many races have we win 4,000? 12, 15? Something like that, right?
Yeah.
I think it's something like that, right?
Yeah.
I think it's on the 15 riders, only before, you know, more than 4,000 races.
Right. Then not too many. I know that.
No.
I know that. That's a very small number of riders who've been able to accomplish that large number. Yeah. And what did you feel when you crossed the wire for the 4,000th time?
Oh, it's a great feeling. You know, I said, man, you know what I mean? It's an unbelievable feeling. It was, you know. But if I was in like a little slump a couple of weeks to that, because I was stuck in 399. I said, man, why don't I win the 4,000? Finally, I win a couple back to back. So I win the 4,001. So that was a good feeling. Yeah, it was really, really good. All the jackets came out for the jackets, and that was awesome.
You know, it's funny. I've had a couple other guests here on the show who talk about, you know, reaching a milestone, and they all say the same thing. It seems like right before that happens, you know, you got the monkey on your back. You can't get it off, and it takes.
Man, 2 weeks I can't win a race. I was like in a whole week, and my next host, you know, favors, and I said, what's going on?
Oh my goodness!
Finally, you know, in the 4,000 now, then I took off a few more races after that, but it was kind of stuck a little bit.
I read the article. It was funny because the trainer you rode for, it was also his 50th birthday, so.
Yeah, for Brad Smith. Yeah, it was birthday. It was something else.
Good day all around, then. Good day.
Yeah, absolutely. It was awesome. That was a great feeling.
And at least if the jocks didn't properly initiate you after your first win, well, they properly, you know, had a celebration after your 4,000th win coming out there at Tampa.
Yeah, but that was real cool. They all, you know. They thought about it. They did it for me. They said, no, guys, come on, guys. I'm 50 years old. I only use shaving cream to shave. It's about it. So, yo, they'll back up. They'll back up. So, it was good. That was good. So, the guy was happy for me. It was nice to see how many people care for you, you know?
Of course.
A lot of people show up.
Well, and speaking of Tampa, Jose, I have to ask you this because I read the article and it was a funny story. So there's a story behind the reason you decided to ride at Tampa, and it has to do something with baseball, and it's a really cool story. So please share with our audience why you decided to go to Tampa.
Well, the reason I came to that, we don't know, the spring training is here. I'm a big fan of the Yankees. New Yankees do the spring training here, like only like 10 minutes away. You know me, I said, you know what? I want to be, you know, I want to be involved. I want to be close to the, I don't know. I just want to be close to the, you know, spring training. I said, let's try Tampa. Because I could hit two things I really love, ride horses and watch some baseball game. You know what I mean? And I came this way because of that, you know?
Makes sense.
That's crazy.
Makes sense. You're in the Florida Sunshine to boot, so why not? You know.
You know, yeah, I can. You know, the Yankees that play here, the Philly. You know, I was watching the Philly too because I used to run Fairfield Park that play here in Clearwater. You know, I mean, they have. You know, who else play? Blue Jay play here, and 20 minutes away. David, I was watching the news. Atlanta Braves is thinking to come this way now. You know, Clearwater, something like 45 minutes from here. So I got quite a few good teams. I can watch, you know, a lot of baseball down in spring training. It's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Pretty cool. So that's one of the most amazing things. I don't go down there, right? I can watch some games. You know, I mean, spring training is awesome. You know. Because you can see all the players close and different, like, when they play, you know, in the regular games, you know, the big stadiums, spring training, small stadium. You can talk to the players, you can get autographs. It's pretty cool. It's really nice.
Well, you even got to hang out with a couple players.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I get to, when I came down here, I ended up being good friend with Billy Connors. Billy Connors was one of the pitching trainers. Pitching coaches for the New York Yankees, so I end up, you know, spending a little time with them. Then I made Derek Jeter, I made Alex Rodriguez, Posada, Giambi, Sheffield. I made a bunch of baseball players. You know me, but if I work up a little bit with Jeter, you know, I end up to talk to him a little bit. Real nice guy, you know, top of the, you know, unbelievable guys, class. End up working up a little bit with him. It was really, really cool.
Did you say you worked out with him?
Yeah, worked out with Derek.
Wow.
You know, it's pretty cool. You know what I mean? It was pretty cool. Now, you know, build a relationship with the owners. So, matter of fact, I write tomorrow for Kissman Stable. That's Jessica Stan Brennan, one of the daughters of, you know, George Stan Brennan's.
Oh.
You know, so I know all the, you know, the owners, I know the brothers, you know, I write for them. You know, it's pretty cool. Anytime I want to go to the Yankees, I call them up. You know, they give me him. It's really cool.
Can't beat that. Okay, so now I want to know, what does Derek Jeter do when he works out? What's his work?
Oh, he got a really tough routine. You know, he got a tough routine. All concerns, he's a personal trainer. My father was a guy from my country, from Puerto Rico. His name is Ralphie. You know what I mean? He used to have a really, you know, tough routine for Derek. You know what I mean? You know, like, he used to do arms one day, legs another day, stuff like that. You know? But, man, talk about tough routine.
Tough routine.
Yeah.
Tough routine. And you guys worked out together. That's...
Yeah, that was really cool.
Oh, my goodness.
And the guy told me, hey, you want to come over to, you know, together? You know, they got their own workout playbook. You want to come over and say, yeah, well. You know.
How can you beat that? You're in Tampa. You're working out with Derek Jeter. You're riding. You're winning. I mean.
Yeah.
How can you beat that, Jose? How can you beat that?
You can't beat it. You can't beat it.
No, you really can't. You really can't.
You can't beat it. Can't beat it.
Jose, I want to talk about now. Let's talk more about horse racing again. I want to talk about when you went back to Puerto Rico and you won the inaugural Angel Cordero Jockey Challenge. And that had to be such an incredible experience to go back to your home country. And yeah. I'm sure you looked up to Angel Cordero Jr. during your career, and as most of us have. And to win that, what was that like?
Oh, that was good. But I thought it was great. It was awesome. And it was the first time to do the challenge that they came out with, that kind of competition back home. And they called me and said, man, I want to be a part of that. And they winning, that was a plus. That was a really plus, you know, because my ex-wife, I wrote her, Rosie Home, and she was there. Jose Santo was there. Pat Day was involved. It was a couple of good riders. They called for the first year. You know what I mean? And I ended up winning. That was really cool.
Well, I read that there were riders from six nations that were involved
that. Yeah.
and that's what a you know, diverse group of riders. And how was it riding with a bunch of jockeys from all different countries? Was it weird? Did they all have different styles? What was that like?
Not really. No, pretty much everybody, you know. It was like riding, you know.
Anywhere, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's quality riders. They get the best for you, you know. I remember Pat Day was there, you know, Pat Day was one of the best riders I've seen, you know. Best rider in the world.
Of course.
At time. You know what I mean? Jose Santos was, you know, Jose Santos representing his country, Chile. You know, a couple of guys, you know, they're really good riders. It was nothing else. It was no different.
What was it like for you to be home and to win that? And did your family come out and watch, or what was that like?
Oh, that was great, man. Folks there, me in a moment. Relative was over there. A lot of people, they never saw me right before. They went there. That was a great experience. One of the best I ever had. Just because my family was around me. A lot of people really got the pleasure to see me right in the States. You know what I mean? Friends, people, we grew up together. That was good.
What's the racetrack like there?
Say that again?
What's the racetrack like there?
The racetrack what?
What is it like there in Puerto Rico?
Oh, it's nice. What a fun, you know, when you're back home, it's got to be the best sport, you know, like the most popular sport in the, you know, in the island. Because I know we have baseball and we have basketball, but they're not that popular horse racing. Horse racing is big, like, really big. You're involved with horse racing, forget about it. Everybody know you. Everybody, people that don't know you, they want to know you. You know, they look for tips. It's really cool. Really cool.
So it's
such a big popular sport back home.
So it's more popular there than you would say it's here in the States?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, by far.
Really?
By far.
Why do you think that is?
Because you know what I mean? Because I think baseball is not that popular. Matter of fact, they used to have a league out there. And the league, nobody was too interested in the baseball league. Nobody is interested in the basketball league either. Because the fact when you got the base, you know, good basketball players playing the state, they don't want to play there. And the baseball, sorry, the really good baseball players, they're back home. They play all summer. They don't want to play in the winter. Because the fact you got another, you know, you got the best quality riders, best quality in that kind of sport. And those sports, you don't have the best. You know, you see all the good, you know, baseball play, basketball play, playing the stakes. And they don't play back home. You know, different quality. Like, I think horse racing provides the best quality in the sport. They're all the kind of sports back home. That's what I think.
Back in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, because, you know, you have a great baseball player, but then they never play back home. You know, same thing, basketball. You know, they pretty much, you know, they have contracts. You know what I mean? Like, you know, all these contracts are required to, you know, you can't do that, you can't do this, you know, when you got so much money being paid by owners in different leagues, you know, so they don't let you do, you know, you play in the summer, you play here. You know what I mean? So that thing, I think that's what it is. I'm guessing, don't get me wrong, because I don't have the facts on me, like say, yeah, for sure. But thinking about it, and you know, because people ask me, you know, the same thing, why the so big racing is over there, that's what I think. You know? Because when you have the best quality in any kind of business, people want to follow the quality. But when you don't bring quality in any kind of business, you know what I mean? You say restaurants or sports, you have to provide quality to people see it. You know what I mean?
Makes sense.
So, you know, that's what I think, because a lot of people say that to me. And say, man, you don't be the best, you know, baseball player, basketball player, people don't want to see it. Well, you don't pay, you know, $10, $20 for a ticket. I mean, you know, see, not really the best you could see it. And then in the horse business, you got the good riders over there, you got the good horses over there. You know what I mean? Quality riders, quality, you know, horse racing is good. You know, it's not great, but, you know, it's okay. So that's what I think.
Well, and look at just the quality of riders who've come out of Puerto Rico. You have, of course, yeah. Angel Cordero and Johnny
Angel,
Velasquez,
Johnny,
Ortiz brothers, you,
Franco,
yeah,
Cancela. You know, you got a bunch of so many really talented riders from back home.
So many, it's
yeah, a lot.
Numbers yeah. are astronomical. It's you know,
yeah,
impressive.
Yeah, the two little stars over there. I think you know the two stars. You know, you know that kid Franco is another star. You got that kid Cancela.
Yeah.
Some of the star, you're like, you know, like five or six really, really, really dangerous kids out there riding.
That's true.
Telling you. Yeah.
Ortiz brothers are just killing them. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, they're beasts. They're two beasts in a kid. You know.
Well, Jose, we only have about a minute left, but I want to ask you one more question before we go. So you said you're working out, you're stronger than you've ever been. You want to still ride for several years. And after several years comes and goes, what you want to stay involved in the business?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. I want to do something else. You know what I mean? In the horse business, I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking about probably become a steward. You know,
yeah.
I'm thinking do something. I think I'd be awesome because I know the world languages. Nobody could play no game with me because I did them all. So I think you know it's something that I want to do. You know, go to Kentucky school and you know. Apply for the, you know, steward license, I think.
That Kentucky.
Oh, you know, yeah, something with it. But, you know, general manager, you know, GM, do something, you know, with a horse racing. But I want to be involved. I love being involved.
Yeah, that can.
I go with people. I know a lot of people, you know. Because I got to work. I got two kids I got to raise.
You got to work, Jose.
My God. They eat a lot. I got a young wife, 23 years old. They eat a lot. I got two kids. They eat a lot. Diaper is very expensive. The formula is forget about it.
No break for you, Jose.
No break for me. So I gotta keep going.
Well, Jose, I'll let you get back to taking care of your young kids there. So thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Pleasure. You got it. Anytime. And God bless you, everybody over there.
Thank you to Jose Ferrer for joining us tonight. Folks, if you missed any portion of tonight's show, you can check out our website, horseracingradio.net, and Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes. Join me next Tuesday at 6 o'clock Eastern Time with another edition of Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. For our producer, Lee Delapina, I'm Christina McManigal, and thank you for listening.